What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of CNN 10, where we tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Hope you are off to an awesome day. We have a lot to get to, only 10 minutes to do it, so let's get to it. Hackers are targeting businesses with video deepfakes that can trick people into sending money, sharing passwords, or revealing sensitive information, all in a matter of seconds. Our Claire Duffy gets advice from an expert on how to avoid getting scammed.
Wow, that looks a lot like Claire. I can't. It's a little bit creepy. There's a new type of AI scam that's increasingly targeting businesses and eventually maybe anybody. Last year, an exec at Ferrari was targeted by someone posing as the company's CEO. And a finance worker at a multinational company paid out $25 million to scammers that use deepfake recreations of the company's CFO. So I'm here in Silicon Valley to meet up with ethical hacker and social proof security CEO Rachel Toback. She's going to walk me through how these scams work and how people can protect themselves. Explain to us what we're going to see today.
So you're going to see a demo of what it looks like when somebody uses a deepfake to try to trick somebody with your likeness. Okay. And it's not too hard to make.
Ahead of our meeting, Rachel created a deepfake version of me using software commonly used by hackers, pulling video and audio of me posted on YouTube. It can be played back on something like a Zoom call without the person on the other end realizing that it's a recording. We have a colleague of mine in New York who is ready and waiting. She knows this is coming because you are an ethical hacker. We didn't want to trick anybody here. But talk about how this would actually happen in the wild. If she were there unsuspecting, what would happen?
She would probably get a text message or an email. Hey, I'm on the road. Can you jump on a call real quick? I need something. So it'll look like it's coming from you. And when she gets on there, she sees you quickly ask for something like a wire transfer or a password or a code. And usually these types of conversations aren't lasting. They're short and they're sweet.
Okay. All right. We've sent that email.
You get it queued up.
And we'll see when she answers.
Hey, thanks for jumping on so fast. Can you remind me of our password for our shared drive? I need it for an interview starting in 30 seconds.
Wow, that looks a lot like Claire. The movements, though, are a little bit off. It definitely doesn't seem human. I've never seen Claire look this surprised. Also, she's usually very chill.
Sorry, my connection is bad.
Okay, Claire. Oh, this is a little bit creepy. All right, can you hear us on your end?
Yeah, I heard you guys laughing a little.
This is real, Claire, not deepfake Claire.
Right.
What are your thoughts, like, if this had been our boss, Dave, calling you really quickly to ask you for something, do you feel like there would have been red flags going off, or do you think that you might have been fooled?
There definitely were red flags going off. I feel like your movements were very jerky. But yeah, this is so realistic. It sounded exactly like you.
Well, and I can imagine that this is only going to get better, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is where we're at right now in 2025. Give it a year.
So this is mainly happening in a work setting, right? It's not necessarily like my husband is going to get a Zoom call request from deepfake me.
I mean, it could, right? If you are well known enough and your threat model is high enough, then I'm pretty sure that an attacker would pretend to be you to anybody that trusts you. This is the type of thing that we see it right now in a business context in a limited way, but it is pretty much hitting people who have a lot of authority at the company, asking somebody who really is supposed to do that task for that person of authority.
What can people do to make sure that they don't fall victim to something like this?
You and the people around you have to be politely paranoid. Mm-hmm. So essentially, verify that people are who they say they are before taking action on their sensitive request. So before sending the wire transfer, giving a code, giving access to a password or a document. If you do that after the fact because it felt weird, it's already too late.
10-second trivia. How many United States pennies are currently in circulation? 220 million, 770 million, 1.5 billion, or 114 billion? Answer is 114 billion. That makes sense. The penny was one of the first coins ever produced by the U.S. Mint. The originals were pure copper. Today, they're made almost entirely of zinc, then plated with copper. It is almost time to say goodbye to pennies. The U.S. Mint is preparing to phase them out next year, and there is already at least one store getting ready for it. The Star Store in Langley, Washington has been operated by Gene and Tamar Felton for 41 years, and they're rounding down every purchase to the nearest nickel so that no pennies will circulate through their business. The owners say it's just logical, with about 80% of their sales that are being paid by credit card. The owners also say that eliminating pennies streamlines transactions between clerks and customers, and it's been a long time coming.
It was cash or checks or layaway or just put it on the account. That didn't work out so well, so. It just seems like they're not worth their while anymore.
The main reason the U.S. Mint is pushing pennies to go the way of the dinosaurs is cost. Did you know each penny costs nearly 4 cents to produce? So the move is expected to result in an immediate savings of about $56 million each year, according to the U.S. Department of the Treasury. The U.S. began minting the 1 cent piece in 1793. First responders are known for saving lives, but now some four-legged heroes are saving the day in a different way. It's all thanks to Heidi Carmen and her nonprofit First Responder Therapy Dogs, which helps reduce stress for police officers, firefighters, and paramedics by bringing them dogs after they make tough calls. These pups don't chase suspects, they chase smiles, and maybe their tails, of course. The furry teammates aren't just cute, but making a positive difference for mental health by bringing comfort, cuddles, and a few slobbery kisses to those who keep us safe.
To fight the fires in California, it's like a war zone. It's grueling work, it's smoky, it's hot.
We got close to the night.
It's dangerous. They go for a minimum of 2 weeks, 24 hours on, 24 hours off. That stress, to have it lightened with a therapy dog visit, is priceless. We got Kareth in 2018, and we were training her to become a working guide dog.
Can I touch this?
She was just too friendly to every single person. So I started doing therapy dog work with her. During the 2020 fire season, going around to fire base camps, she was so good at just making the firefighters feel better. I started posting pictures on her Instagram. Then I was getting messages, can you come to my husband's police department? I'm like, yeah, sure. Now we have hundreds of therapy dog teams across the entire country. We go to fire base camps, fire stations, police departments, 911 dispatch centers. All first responders would benefit.
When we are around emotional support animals, you just see that all sort of melt away.
Cortisol levels go down. The endorphin levels go up. I can feel that goodness just coming up the leash.
Just to have a dog come by and she can't talk, can't ask questions. It can kind of break the ice.
Oh, I miss you too.
The first time I met Kareth, I had undiagnosed PTSD. She just picked up on it right away. She just went nose to nose with me. And we just had a moment. And it broke me down. This was my wake-up call that I needed to go to therapy. The man's best friend for a reason.
We have helped so many people. I'm grateful to Kareth for showing me the way.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, an enormous gift for an enormous sacrifice. After serving in the Army for nearly a decade, Rebecca Mann of Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, was medically retired due to an injury. During her second deployment to Afghanistan, she lost her right foot and limb and then developed a rare vascular condition which needed a second amputation.
Establishing what your new normal is in a new life and a new community is really hard.
When the nonprofit Homes for Our Troops heard Rebecca's story, they offered to build a custom, adaptive home, mortgage-free.
My home has over 40 adaptations for ADA to help me navigate every day. I don't know how you repay anybody for a gift this huge.
It's very gratifying to be able to continue, as we say, to serve the folks that have served us.
Now, Rebecca is not just loving her new home. She is thriving. She recently joined the U.S. Women's Para Hockey Team and just won gold in the World Championships. Awesome stuff. All right, superstars, time for some shout-outs now. This first one's going to Mr. Niederman at Ridgeview Junior High School from Pickerton, Ohio. Thank you for being part of our community, part of our fam. We see you. And Miss McGuire at Hawkins Middle School in Hawkins, Texas. And they sent me this contraption. Dating back to the 1930s, they have a tradition there where they exchange mumps and garters for homecoming. And they made a custom one. I wish it was big enough for my head. I think this would be a great piece for me. Thank you so much. Happy homecoming to you. And thank you all for tuning in. Let's do it again, shall we? I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.